Hi, this is Cherise Kenyon, and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. This week, I've got a really special guest, special because this is the first time I've had the opportunity to welcome a Beauty Me listener onto the show. A few weeks ago, I put out a call or an invitation on Instagram stories for any listeners who wanted to come onto the show and talk about their own beauty experiences. If you're a long-term listener, you know that this show is not just about what we put on our faces. It's not just about my five-minute product reviews. It's really about the influences that shaped you from birth to where you are right now. So I applied that same concept to these listener episodes. Nothing has changed. It's still about the morning routines. It's still about finding personal beauty experiences. So my first listener guest is London-based writer and curator Jasmine Pierre. Thanks so much for putting yourself forward, Jasmine. You did great on this. Definitely, if you were somebody else out there thinking about coming on, have a listen to this. You'll see that Jasmine's just kicked things off with a real bang. This was a lot of fun, and it brought up a lot of thinking points for me personally. In this episode, Jasmine is, of course, going to share the morning routine with some really useful tips for anyone who lives with eczema. And also, I'm just going to say it, anyone who just craves highly moisturized skin, because I learned something brand new about skincare today with Jasmine. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm definitely going to be looking up the product that she shares. She's also going to take us through her early beauty influences from her mum, her grandma, to her school friends. And then, as so many of us have experienced, her Tumblr phase. I hope you enjoy this one. Let me know if it makes you think you'd like to come on. Let me know if anything Jasmine says resonates with you. You can DM me on Instagram at beautymepodcast or email beautymepodcast@gmail.com. I will also ask Jasmine to share her socials for you later in the show, so be sure to look out for her. Now, let's just have a listen. Jasmine, talk me through your morning routine, fully transparent one.
Okay, a transparent morning routine. I guess it kind of changes if I'm working from home or I'm going into the office, but I guess I'll do going into the office. So I wake up like around 7 and kind of like in very much like a foggy haze, like, oh, what's going on? Reach for my phone, turn the alarm off. Straight out of bed into the shower. I always do my shower first just because it's the easiest thing to get out of the way compared to doing everything else. In the shower, I use like eczema emollient cream body wash because I have eczema. So that's like a pretty big thing that I've had all my life. And just like use simple body wash for like under your arms, stuff like that. Hop out the shower. And then usually I'm like using body cream. My typical body cream is Aveeno, but not their regular one. It's Aveeno Dermexa, which is like their, it's got a blue cap and you find it in like the eczema aisle at Boots, which is usually at like the back. It is the best body cream I've used in my life. It's amazing. Like,
see, now I'm going to want to use that even though I haven't got eczema, because you know what it's like when it's, you're trying to have that moisturized skin. I feel like we reach for the most moisturizing, like when it's like extremely dry, eczema. So I think we're all going to be, I've never seen one with a blue cap, but that explains it if it's in the eczema aisle.
Yeah, it's like really tucked away, but the hydration it gives is honestly life-changing. But yeah, so okay. So yeah, that's the body cream I'm using, you know, get dressed, whatever. I'm usually listening to a podcast or I'm watching a YouTube video, or I'm quite a big reality TV person, so I might have like an old series of Real Housewives like in the background.
Which one?
Oh gosh, which one? I mean, in terms of like top tier content, like Potomac is really
where it's so bad.
it's so bad, but I think it is a Real Housewives series that gives you so many layers of society that it's just so interesting to see it play out. So yeah, usually got something on in the background. And then after I've got dressed, I go and do my skincare, which is like one of my favorite parts of my morning routine, or even just my day, to be honest. So when I'm washing my face, I'm using the Inkey List Oat Cleansing Balm. Oh, amazing. If you have dry skin, it really is just the best. It's fantastic. Yeah. After that, I'm using Bioma, the hydrating serum.
It's so nice.
I can't remember who put me on. I feel like I saw it in an Instagram video.
I know, I've been using it for a while. It's so nice.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, I didn't use a serum for quite a long time. And I was like, okay, everyone's talking about serums. Like, is it really going to make that much of a difference? And then I used the serum and I was like, okay, cool. I've got it. I understand.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good starter serum as well, because it's purely there as an extra bit of hydration. It's not saying it's going to do this and it's going to do that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really nice one.
Yeah, for sure. I think with me, because of my skin and I'm so sensitive, I'm always like tentative about trying new stuff. But it, you're right, it is a really good starter entry point that just really adds that little boost. Ceramides are definitely my best friend, personally. But yeah, after that, I'm using a face cream. The E45 face moisturizer is great, really an unsung hero. And then after that, SPF always. I'm using the Garnier Advanced Protection Sensitive one. Yeah. Yeah,
that's nice. They've got quite a few and they're so cheap compared to the rest.
100%. Because I was using Isntree before, which is my favourite for sure. But sometimes I just don't have £22 for the little tube. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes.
You know it's going to last you this much time. It's like you could buy 3 Garnier, I think, for that, maybe.
Yeah.
Or 2.5.
I was just like, I can't, you know, given the times we're in, sometimes got to make an economic scale back.
Definitely. Well, you know, Bioma's got an SPF as well now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. I don't remember the price, but obviously that'll probably fit in between the two, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Oh, I had no idea they had an SPF. Fair. I might have to check that out. But yeah, that's pretty much my morning routine. And then I just kind of eat breakfast and head off.
Tell me why you said you think your skincare might even be the best part of your day, not even your morning.
I think for me, kind of getting more into skincare, it's kind of been like a bit of a sanctuary space, I guess, for me. I am someone who very much likes to work and work often. Sometimes I find it a bit hard to relax or like carve out space for myself or time. And because those things are like embedded moments in my day, it's a really easy time for me to like grab that little piece of just like relaxation or kind of thinking to myself or kind of being with myself as well, just because I live at home. So it's kind of like a nice also like privacy moment too.
So you mean with family?
Yeah. So I live with my mom.
Okay. So your skincare is your prep before you head out, go to work, see your mom, like taking other people's energy, I guess.
100%. 100%.
Well, I invited you on as a member of the Beauty Me community. It's not like another guest that's like maybe a makeup artist or hairdresser and I can look you up in advance. So just tell me a little bit more about what you do day to day before we get into your experiences of growing up.
For sure. So day to day, I have a couple of different jobs because everyone has a couple of different jobs nowadays, I guess. So my day to day job is I'm an executive assistant. So that kind of is just a fancy way of saying that I'm head of admin and then also kind of do like calendar management stuff for the managing director where I work. I also am a curator, so I've been doing that for a bit. I'm kind of freelance-ish / doing it where I work. So I curated an exhibition in June and September, and then I just assistant curated an exhibition that opened a couple weeks ago.
And is this at the Tate? Let's let people know. Like, can we say where it is?
Yeah, we can say it. So these were both at Black Cultural Archives. So that's like my main job base. So I'm an EA at Black Cultural Archives, and then the two exhibitions that I curated and assistant curated are there too. Definitely head down. It's like a great space, and I've worked there for about 4 years now, so quite a long time. But yeah, I love it, so it's great.
Does that mean you're coming from an artistic background, like even before you started in this role, or?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved art as a kid. And my dad was like a massive drawer and photographer, and he used to do a bit of modelling occasionally. So for me, art's kind of always just been in the background, but I guess I didn't really always have access to like going to galleries unless it was like with school. And then, yeah, I just kind of had that inclination to work in that space and kind of figure out what I wanted to do.
So let's take it back to the early, I just wanted to get a feel for who you are, but let's go back to your first kind of memories of what beauty is.
Yeah, so my first memories of beauty is like such a hard question for me to think about. But I think it's kind of, rather than thinking about like a pivotal moment, for me, it's kind of little snapshots of like my past. So I guess for me, getting my hair done was such a big thing. So like sitting between my mum's knees or like on a chair while she'd do my hair every weekend to then go to school is like probably one of my first earliest memories of beauty. And then my mum really like is like a hair and makeup person, so seeing her get ready. My grandma was like stupid into jewelry, like she had loads of piercings, loads of jewelry, so I just see her jewelry on her bedside table. So it's kind of like those mini moments were really my first memories of experience beauty. And then obviously when you're watching TV and stuff like that, there's kind of always that media aspect, but I think in the home it was kind of mainly from my mum.
And do you think, is there anything from your mum or your grandma now that you see in yourself, like when it comes to how you look at beauty?
Yes and no. I think because my mum's of a slightly, well, obviously she's of a different generation, I think they're very much, it's difficult maybe to go out the house not fully put together, I guess.
Appearances. Yep.
Yeah. I think for me, getting older a bit, I've kind of let go of that a little bit. I don't need to be 100% perfect to kind of go outside and just do the day to day. But in terms of other things I've gotten from them, yeah, I think my mum's very much a coordination person. She's very organized. She's like, outfit's got to be coordinated, got to look like this. And I think I've definitely carried that through. And I think my sister as well, who's older than me, has also carried that through. Like her kids, the dress, how they are dressed, the colors, always on point for sure.
So tell me a little bit about your heritage then, because I'm trying to build a picture. I'm making guesses where your family's from, but you tell me.
Yeah, so my mum is half English, half Jamaican. And then my dad is from Trinidad, so Caribbean.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. See, I knew it had to be Caribbean, because when you said coordinated and that being presentable, because it's come up in the past when I've had West Indian guests, there is absolute emphasis on looking your best from that generation, because even if you didn't have a lot, you will be wearing a very clean shirt. It will be pressed, like your hair will be done. It doesn't matter if you have nothing. It's not about showing that. It's about being your best version. And I think it's got a lot of positives, but it's also something that, yeah, I mean, imagine if you're popping out to the shops and you're like, I've got to do a full face first, you know?
Yeah, so
it's like
for sure.
All the modern take on it. You can take bits and respect other bits, but like not follow them.
Yeah, which is what I love about like, I guess, culture and heritage. It's nice to be able to take the pieces that you want and understand the pieces that you don't, kind of thing.
Yeah. Coordination is such a big thing. It's like, just, yeah, the match, because I am not like that. I hate to be matchy-matchy. I'm the opposite of like my other two sisters. I'm very mix and match, you know, high and low. And so tell me about your first, like, when did you start playing with your own image, hair, beauty, etc.?
I think maybe like when I started going to secondary school. So when I was about 11, because kind of before then, my mum was very much, I'm doing your hair every week. You're getting braided up, you know, cane rows back. If there was a special occasion, straightening hair. But apart from that, just back cane rows the whole time. So in secondary school, I kind of got to play around a bit more. But I think because of the time that I was a teenager, so like in the 2010s, the kind of Eurocentric beauty ideals were like, they're still very prevalent, but they were really prevalent back then, particularly on body type and like appearance. So as soon as I got to secondary school, I was like, right, okay, I'm seeing the girls around me. And I'm like, okay, so my hair straightens now. And it's just, I had it straightened for years. Wow.
Did you go to a predominantly white school or?
It's interesting because my school was kind of mixed. I would say the predominant students were either white or Asian. Specifically,
but yeah, they would have all had straight hair for starters.
Exactly. So I guess for me, more of my social group were white girls, I would say. So that was kind of influencing me quite heavily. And I think also thinking about the teenage films that were coming out at the time, like I remember Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging was like a huge thing. When I was young,
but yeah, but that was a huge thing for you at school.
Yeah, because it was like an 8-series book, and then they made the film of the first book. And I think it's interesting because, yeah, I guess the film was very much that kind of aesthetic. And I watched the film recently with my niece, who's younger than me, and she was like, "Oh, why are they picking on that girl for having a big bum and big boobs? Like, that's a good thing." And I was like, "Oh, wow, how much things change!"
And that
was such a bad thing.
You're part of that, you know. Not that you go out and criticize, but like it becomes part of you. But tell me about the aesthetic because I've never seen it. Is it like Mean Girls vibes? Like, tell me what was the vibe from that film?
I think it's just very much like your next door neighbor. English girl, English boy, you know, typical. I'm trying to think of like a celebrity, you know, like One Direction back in the day. Like the boys in that film were kind of like that with the swooping hair and stuff. And then the girls is just very much, yeah, just kind of like it was a mix, but girl next door. One of them had a quiff because when quiffs were a thing.
Okay. But all, I'm guessing, were they all white characters?
Not all of them, most of them. But I think it's like that film was kind of stemming more from like a body image place, in terms of thinking about your personal body image. And then like the people I was around and the social groups was more in terms of like aesthetics, so like hair and face and stuff like that.
So were there any bumps in the road for you, like getting through that, navigating that? Like, how did it make you feel?
I always felt like my body shape didn't fit in just because being skinny was really the thing that people aspired to be. I think also Tumblr was a big thing when I was younger, like the first iteration of Tumblr being around. And I was really on Tumblr a lot. And so kind of, I was always thinking I wasn't skinny enough. And also, yeah, I guess for me, the hair thing was a big deal. And just thinking that I didn't fit in necessarily with how the rest of the people I was hanging around with look, or how most of them looked anyway. It was quite tough. And I think also since I can remember, my eczema's always been a big thing for me. And like when it would flare up, it would kind of make me feel quite insecure because I didn't have that like blemish free complexion necessarily.
Mm-hmm. I feel like because we're both mixed race as well. And I feel that is a whole other thing when you go to a school that's like, I think I was one of only 3 brown people and the other 2 were black. So there's 2 black on my year, 2 black people. And then there's me and everyone else is white. And it's so funny because I think a lot of times you're not given the latitude for people to accept that, yeah, you may well have thought that you should look like this because your environment makes you. You know, I think your environment really affects you. And I remember one time when I was very young, I've forgotten how young, but I think I must have said to my dad, "Oh, I wish I had hair like Barbie," because I was just looking at this thing that's meant to be really pretty. And she happened to have straight blonde hair. I didn't think, well, I wasn't processing because she has straight blonde hair. That's why she's pretty. I just wanted the thing. Mm-hmm. And he was so disgusted with me. But years later, I said to myself, well, you shouldn't be disgusted because you shouldn't have sent me to a white school then. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
environment is everything. So do you think, you know, like when most of your friends are white, do you think that they see you as different at the time?
That's so interesting. That's such a good question.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I knew I had 4 female white friends. They were my core friends. I know I felt different, but you still have to turn up every day and that's your friends. Do you know what I mean? It's like a survival thing, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because when I was younger, I kind of was like a floater between different social groups, but like in a good way. So there was kind of a social group I was hanging around with where there was a lot of white girls, but then there was also a social group I was hanging around with where there were actually a lot of mixed race girls, black girls. It was kind of like, it was in between both, I guess. And I think when I was around the group of white girls, I did feel different. And sometimes I felt like they knew I was different and treated me as such, I guess, just because. And particularly because I went to an all-girls school as well, and thinking about male attention was a massive thing that was on everyone's minds all the time. I think when it came to that aspect, I kind of maybe wasn't seen as necessarily the person to worry about in terms of like getting male attention. But when I was around my mixed race friends and my black friends, I never felt that insecurity. And we kind of would talk about that too, around the like feeling like that as well in other social groups that we were in. So it was nice to have that support, I guess.
That's so interesting. I feel like we need to have, because I've always felt like we need to have a conversation around what it is to be mixed race, but being mixed race is not the same thing for everybody. Just like being black is not the same thing for everybody. I feel like as the years go by, we finally come to accept that being black is not this one thing. And being mixed race is certainly not this one thing. But what you said then, I did the same thing. Definitely hung out with the goth kids, definitely hung out with the quiet kids. Then I had my girly white friends. But when I went to uni, it was so different. It was suddenly loads of way more black students than I'd ever seen in my life. Because I was in the Midlands, so lots of Ghanaian, Nigerian students, but coming from London, like different areas of London to the West Midlands. And then it was like so different again. And for me, there was also a little point of difference there as well. So I feel that's one of the conversations when you're mixed race. It's like, I do think you have an ability to, maybe it's code switching. You get in where you fit in kind of thing, and they're your people, but you're also pretty good at mixing with these people as well. And sorry, I'm just like going on here, but I just find it interesting because
no, it is. It is. It doesn't. And I think you're right. I think there is an element of code switching involved in it. And like you said, no identity is monolithic. So I think it is interesting that we're starting to have these conversations a bit more and unpack it a bit more, because it's important to think about all of our experiences in like conjunction with each other, I guess.
And if we don't talk about them, we're not kind of preparing anyone or letting someone know, I went through that too. You know, I think that's why it's so great to have conversations about anything. It's just like one person understanding you is better than no one understanding. Mm-hmm. So tell me about, because I feel like I can see you at that age with like very straight hair, jeans. I feel like when the girls are like that slim, the jeans would almost be hanging off. Do you know what I mean? The hip and the butt area, maybe a little vest. And I keep thinking for some reason Avril Lavigne, like black eyeliner, but paint a picture for me like how you looked at that age.
Yeah. I mean, listen, winged liner definitely had its moment for sure in my life, 100%. I guess for me, and I guess it is also tied in with like a beauty moment I regretted and didn't regret how I looked at the time. When I was about 14, I chopped off a lot of my hair. So my hair was probably part down past my shoulders. And then I was 14. New Girl with Zooey Deschanel was a big thing. I just felt like I was seeing a lot of bangs. So I was like, right, my hair's straight. I'm cutting my hair off. I'm straightening it and I'm getting bangs. But it obviously was not a curly cut. And it was an interesting time, appearance-wise, with the short hair just above my shoulders and the bangs. And when it rained, it was definitely an interesting experience. I felt like a lot of people at that time may have lied to me in saying that you looked great, but it's okay, I've forgiven them. So yeah, I had that kind of hairstyle. I was wearing a lot of like shirts, like gridded shirts. I'm trying to think how to explain it. I guess I'm quite like masculine in terms of dressing. So I was wearing a lot of like checked shirts, oversized shirts, and like a colorful chino, you know, to be peak in the 2010s moment is probably how I was looking when I was not in uniform.
I love it. I love it. So tell me about who you are now. Like what do you find, what is beauty to you now? How has it changed?
It has been honestly night and day, I think, what beauty is to me now, because I think beauty is so much more flexible and fluid now, whereas before, in the past, when I was younger, it felt like something that was so rigid and almost inaccessible. But now I feel like it's so open and it's so boundaryless that it's really something that can kind of be ever shifting in my life. So for me, beauty is now kind of doing something and not feeling afraid about doing it, kind of just accepting, you know, my hair's natural all the time. Beauty for me is like when I have a really nice outfit on, that's kind of tells me something about beauty. I think thinking about, yeah, I think it's kind of a personality thing, and also like being really explorative, I think, is what beauty means to me. I guess being around my peers and then also seeing my sister's kids grow up, I think beauty means a lot. My eldest niece, she's doing like a makeup college course, and she does her makeup better than I ever have and probably ever will. And I think what I really love about her and what she's taught me about beauty is that it can just be changing, because she's so playful and experimental, and I really admire that. And while it's not something I'd necessarily do for myself right now, I just, yeah, I love it for her. So it's, yeah, that's what beauty means to me, I guess.
I love that, because it's like she will learn certain rules or whatever, because college has a way of teaching you. But yeah, I think women or people that want to wear makeup, it's way more free now, you know, and worst case, it comes off anyway. But I think it's gone. I think for some people it can be armor, but I think it was other generations that were kind of taught that it can be part of this armor, the type of being presentable. Well, I've got lipstick, I've got a full face, my hair is done. It was more of a, maybe more of a chore for some people, but now it's more, you know, your niece is enjoying it. She's enjoying how you can change someone's face and probably their mood. So when would you say you feel the most authentic, happy version of you? Like, what is it? Is it how you look? Is it what you're doing? Tell me about that.
The most authentic version of me, I think it's definitely what I'm doing. I think if I'm doing something that I'm really passionate about, or I'm having a really nice time with my friends or my boyfriend or my mom, just kind of in those joyful moments of kind of carelessness, I guess, is when I feel really authentically me. Or when I'm doing something I'm super, super passionate about, I feel really authentically me. In terms of how I look, I really appreciate a silhouette in terms of like clothing. And I think for me, clothing is also a part of beauty in a certain sense, because it is all like a aesthetic outward appearance. So if I have a trouser that has a great like baggy balloon silhouette, I feel like I can take on the world, to be honest.
I love that. So Jasmine, just tell people where they can find you, because I definitely want to, on these listener episodes, I want people to find you, see what you're about, if you're cool with them finding you. So do you want to share your socials or anything?
Yeah, for sure. I am only really on Instagram, to be honest. So I am at J_AZZ.P. There are a lot of Jasmines in this world. I had to be creative with the name. But yeah, pretty much my stuff you can find on there.
So what did you think of this listener episode? Be honest, let me know. You know, I'm always keen for feedback. I actually enjoyed it, because it just put a different spin on the way these conversations often go. I'm so lucky with the range of guests on this show. And obviously, you know, many of them are very influential in hair and beauty. But I also like to speak to people that see hair and beauty as this thing that they get to enjoy. And that's pretty much so many of us anyway. I'm going to post a poll on Spotify for anyone who listened there so you can let me know what you thought. Otherwise, feel free to get into the DMs on Instagram or X at beautymepodcast or email beautymepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you did enjoy this one, it would be great if you could leave it a review on Spotify, Apple, anywhere you like to listen, and do feel free to give it a rating. Also, if you want to make sure you catch every episode of Beauty Me, and trust me, there are a lot of episodes coming between now and 2024. If you know what I did last year, you'll know what I'm talking about. Lots of episodes are coming really soon, so be sure to subscribe and follow so you get notified whenever those episodes are released. I'll see you next time.